Okay, now we are going to start for real. Welcome everybody, and thanks to all of you who did make it close to on time. I'm Representative Frank Hornstein, and I'm very happy to be the chair of our newly consecrated transportation policy and transit and oversight division. Now, I checked out our list of 30-plus committees, and you have the privilege of being on one of two committees that has two ands in the name. I think there's Health Policy and Human Services and Oversight Committee. And you're looking at me blankly. Where am I going with this? It means we have a lot of work. And I'll talk a little about that in a minute. What we're going to do today is go through some of our rough policies and procedures. They're not rigid, but they're really meant to be guidelines. They're in your packet. I'll talk a little about, you know, what all those ands mean and the work before this committee, this session. And then the bulk of the meeting I want to spend having you not only introduce yourselves and talk a little to all of us about your district, but if there are any particular transportation and transit issues that are of most concern to you. Because as some of you know, prior to being elected in 2002, I served on the Met Council, and then prior to that, I was a community organizer. And as such, I really value the give and take and the relationships we can develop with each other. And so that's why I think it's really important that we know a little about our interests, our districts. And I will be making effort to meet one-on-one with all of you as this month moves on, and hopefully by February I'll have had a chance to meet in my office with everyone on the committee, and then I'll have a chance to get to know you better, and then we can talk a little bit about some of your goals as members of this committee. So I'm really, really pleased that we have a larger committee than last time, and we are now a full division of the legislature, which means that all of our bills that we move through this committee, if they do not have financial implications, will go straight to the floor or to another policy committee. That's a big change from last year, and I think it really empowers us to, you know, in the body, to take transportation policy a bit more seriously than it has in the past. So with that, if there aren't any further questions at this point, let me just, if you could turn to the 8-point guideline sheet. I'm not going to go over all of these. I think you should read them at your leisure. But you know, a couple I did want to highlight, and that is I am going to be fairly strict about the 24-hour rule. Some of you are aware about amendments. And for those of you who are new, and I'm very pleased we have a nice complement of new folks. I'm really looking forward to hearing your comments as well. But it's important that we be as transparent as possible in our deliberations. And as such, we want to give the public and other members of the committee advance notice of amendments. And that's why we'd like to have those 24 hours ahead of each of our meetings to Abby and she'll talk a little when she introduces herself a little about her, what her job is. But we'd like to have those amendments 24 hours ahead of time, as best we can do. If there's minor things, you know, we can do those as oral amendments. But we don't want to take anyone by surprise with any major things. And I think that chairs kind of vary on this committee to committee, but this was one of the things that had come up, I think, pretty consistently in the deliberations that Representative Pawlowski had. And that'll be an important one. And then the other one that I'm especially interested in is the fact that we are meeting once a week. And I'm a little concerned about that, but we'll try to make this work. You know, we have other policy committees in the legislature that meet as often as 3 times a week. We're meeting once a week. It's kind of the way the schedules work. So we do process quite a number of bills in this committee. And so for that reason, I really want us, as best as we can, to get here at 1. We had most people here by 5 after, but I really think every minute is precious, and especially because we have members of the public and our colleagues that are coming before us to present bills, and so we want to get that quorum right away and dive right into the hearings. We had a little bit of an issue with that last year, so I hope everyone will just do everything they can to get here as close to 1 o'clock as possible. And so with that, there aren't any questions about our little general policies and procedures. We can move on. Let me just briefly talk about the purview of the committee and what I anticipate coming up this year before us. We are in a position where we're doing, I think, two big issues, which I think each of them could deserve their own standing committee. But as it is, we have transportation policy and transit issues that we are focusing on. The non-financial transportation policy issues, and I want to emphasize that Chairman Leader and I have spoken about this, that there'll be a very clear delineation this year, unlike last year, between policy and finance. And so we're really going to be focusing on bills that do not have financial implications. Or very minimal ones. So we'll have some of the safety issues. If there is a primary seatbelt bill, for example, that comes up this year, it'll come to this committee. We will have some of the housekeeping bills of the agencies. We are kind of the primary conduit for the policies of the Minnesota Department of Transportation and some of the Department of Public Safety policies that relate to traffic issues and safety, road safety issues. Those all come before this committee. We have an added emphasis on oversight in many of our committees this year. Transportation is no exception. I'm really pleased that with the new leadership at MnDOT, I think we're moving in the right direction in terms of additional accountability. We're not quite there yet. I think there's going to be a package of bills related to oversight that's come out of various studies that have happened in the wake of the bill collapse, the bridge collapse. Hopefully the bill won't collapse, but we have the bridge collapse hearings and the auditor's findings about some of MnDOT's procedures. There'll be, if there's legislation about that, it'll come before this committee. So those are some examples of things we'll be dealing with. On the transit side, we will have a number of issues related to the Met Council and its transit policies, some of the issues around the transit plan for the region will be very much vetted in this committee. There has been a pretty intensive planning process over the last year. Rural transit issues and policies that MnDOT currently has jurisdiction over, very important part of this committee. Oh, I forgot to mention that we always, there's just sort of a family of kind of issues, and you know, Representative Davis will remember this from his long service, that they come before this committee. You know, truck weights, for example, that's something that we do in this committee as well. So the finance pieces of transit will be handled in Representative Leader's Committee as per they have in the past. But a lot of the planning and policy issues. One more set of issues which I think is going to come to the fore this year, unlike in the past, I think there will be some reform proposals related to the Met Council and how its transit pieces are governed. And so some of those will probably go initially to the local government committee. But then I anticipate that they'll come here and we'll have a chance to look those over. I know of at least a couple of proposals like that. So I think it's an exciting agenda for this year, and I know that you'll have probably some other ideas and some issues related to your districts in particular. Like my mentor, Representative Leader, I'm not averse to spending a lot of committee time on very local issues. We may be able to hear some of those bills, occasionally, but in terms of they're mainly finance type things. But if there's an interchange in your district that you want funded or bonded for, That will probably get referred to the Finance Committee. But I can tell you now, and we'll probably learn more about this at our organizational meeting, meeting for finance, that, you know, those are things that we tend to not want to spend a lot of time on. If we can, we'll get to them. Sometimes we have bills that are named that are not necessarily controversial. There's already an Irv Anderson, a highway bill, I think, being circulated. And we'll try to get to those when we can. But we tend to want to focus on some of the bigger picture items first. Those will be the priorities. Last thing. Because our committee time is limited, I don't want to have to schedule additional meetings during the week. We might have to look at Friday meetings occasionally. But some of that will depend on other members and you. So the best of your ability to get your bills jacketed and sent to us as soon as possible, then we can meet about that and work with you to get a hearing. So the earlier the better, the session especially. We don't have a calendar out yet, but for those of you who are veterans of the legislature, you know that usually around the third week of March, there's a deadline for bills to get out of policy committees. And that's going to be very important for this committee because we probably won't be meeting after, towards the end of March. We may do a few informational hearings after the bill deadline, but we really want to get those bills in. And what tends to happen, and I hope it doesn't happen this year, but why would this year be different from any other year? There's usually a bottleneck at the end, and you're here from 8 a.m. to midnight that last week of deadline. I don't want the Transportation Policy Committee to have to do its work that way. It's not a good process to run through bills at the end and be here late and not give bills their due in terms of a hearing. So really do your best to get your bills in early as possible. Good. So let's do the main part of our meeting. I think we'll just start over on the left side with Representative Davids. And again, what I'd like you to do in several minutes, I mean, you don't have to rush through this either, but we want to get to everybody. A little bit about yourself, your background, little baby about your district, and how long you've served, and maybe one or two transportation or transit issues in your district that are of higher priority for you and what we can expect from you in terms of what you'd like to work on. So we'll do members first, and we'll do our staff as we come along. And I do want to, before we even start, recognize that we have a couple of pages this year. Why don't you start here and introduce yourselves and a little bit, and then we'll start. Then we'll go over to Mr. Kane and then Representative Davids.
I'm Luke. I graduated in May, and I used to work for elections, so now I work here.
My name is Vitaly Giron, and it's my first time being a page, and I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I'm on the head of St. Paul.
And Ann O'Connor's hiding back there.
I'm Ann O'Connor, Frank Shelley.
And your staff will probably be hearing from you in terms of scheduling those individual one-to-one meetings. And very accessible and helpful, and she'll be also playing a role in helping to staff this committee.
At the risk of preempting Representative Davids, I'm Dan Kane. I'm DFL Caucus Research for the House. I've served with this committee before.
Greg Davids, District 31B. It's Fillmore in Houston counties. My district borders Iowa and Wisconsin, so I'm way down there in the corner. We have a lot of transportation needs, and one of the biggest sets of needs is deficient bridges. We have many, many bridges. I think our county, Fillmore County, where I live, has only the second amount of township bridges to one of the counties in northeast Minnesota. Your county? Okay. Okay, Polk County. I was thinking it was up there where, like, David Dill's district, that's larger than most foreign countries up there. But so we have in that area, we have a lot of bluffs and a lot of streams and rivers and a ton of bridges. So I'm looking forward to serving on this committee and starting my 17th year.
Well, you just got elected.
I'm a freshman starting my 17th year.
And he's from, and if you ever want to do some nice biking, the Root River Trail is very close to... do you still have that office down there?
Yeah, my back area.
Yeah, okay.
Come on down.
Exactly. So it's a beautiful little town, Preston, tucked away there in the bluffs of southeast Minnesota. So welcome. Andy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, it's a pleasure to serve on your committee. I've heard a lot about your committee and how well you conduct meetings, so I'm looking forward to having an efficiently conducted meeting. I serve District 30B, which encompasses Olmsted and Wabasha counties. Those communities include Plainview, Elgin, Dover, Yoda, Stuartville, Chatfield, and then I have three-quarters of the fringes of Rochester. The issues that are becoming more and more important in our area, of course, we have some roads that are deteriorating. As Representative David pointed out, actually southeastern Minnesota has just about the most number of bridges in the state besides, I think it's northeastern Minnesota. Besides that, the issue that's becoming most important for us, and you're going to hear a lot of discussion about it from the Rochester community, is the issue of high-speed rail. And the community of Rochester is really embracing that. We've seen the population of the community embrace it and some of our major employers. And so we would like to work with the state to advance the Midwestern High-Speed Rail Initiative and bring high-speed rail through the community of Rochester up to the Twin Cities. Beyond that, I look forward to working with all of you, learning about the issues that you have in the metropolitan area. I have to say I took Metro Transit for the first time this weekend. I was thoroughly impressed with the service, and that was on a Saturday night, and I think you have a great service here in this community.
That's really good to hear, and Representative Welty brings up the issue of high-speed rail, and I wanted to let members know, especially our newer members, that last year's session we passed a directive to MnDOT to do a statewide rail plan. And as such, a lot of these rail questions are going to be addressed in that plan. I'm very, very eager and anxious to hear what they're coming up with. Unfortunately, we haven't heard a lot about it, and I definitely would want MnDOT to spend some time in this committee discussing the rail plan and you know what we expect in the future in terms of passenger rail service in the state. So I'm glad you brought that up, and it's one of my priorities as well, Representative Welty. So we're definitely going to air some of that out here. Yes, Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chairman, when is that rail plan due?
I believe it is due in spring or summer. I know that MnDOT has had a workshop on that in last month. I don't think legislators were involved in that, but we're definitely going to find out more. I'm going to make that, I don't know if anyone from MnDOT is here, but maybe make a note that we're going to want to have someone come before this committee to update us about the rail plan, certainly within the jurisdiction of this committee. So thanks for raising that, Representative Welty. Welcome back, Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Carol McFarland. I represent 53B, White Bear Township in North Oaks in Ramsey County, kind of the northeast metro area. My husband and I own an automotive business, so transportation is important to our livelihood. also, I've been on the school board, so that's kind of my background. I've been involved in the past years on the Rush Line Corridor, going to most of their meetings that have been held in White Bear. Also, I've been involved with the going to Met Council meetings about their Metro Transit 2030 plan, which I would comment has nothing changing in the Northeast Metro from now until 2030. I mean, I really feel that the eastern portion of the metro area needs to be represented well here. And so I have concerns about that. And also I've been involved with the Eastern Transportation Alliance.
Thank you. And let me, I've now attempted to do some running commentary on people's comments. But Representative McFarland has raised, I think, an important issue that I know is shared by many of our colleagues in the East Metro. And again, this is something that our committee will air out. Regional equity when it comes to transit projects, and you know what can happen to make sure that the Met Council understands that we need to have a balanced approach. So, glad you're here. I'm glad that Representative Swales is here. Representative Hausman has been a voice on this issue, and so I'm sure that's going to be discussed here at this table as well. So thank you for raising that. Welcome, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Torkelson, newly elected representative from District 21B. The largest community in my district is New Ulm. Highway 14, the infamous Highway 14, stretches through my district for about 70 miles all the way from New Ulm to Walnut Grove, where we get to see Laura Ingalls Wilder every summer. Transportation is important. In fact, transit is also important in my area. I had the opportunity recently to pay a visit to the Watonwan County transit facilities where the Take Me There buses that roam around the country are housed, and it was a very interesting tour, and it does take care of some people in my district that really need transportation. I would guess, although I'm not certain, I'm probably the only member of the committee that actually owns and operates a truck with five axles and grosses 80,000 pounds. There may be others, I don't know. So I'm glad to hear that we're going to deal with truck weights. The rest of you may be not so glad.
Well, Representative Torkelson, a couple things. One is one of the great things about serving on this committee and Representative Leaders Committee is you really learn the state well, and you really learn from your colleagues about some of these safety issues on various highways. So I knew nothing about Highway 14 until I served on this committee. I knew nothing about Highway 60. I didn't know that Representative Morrow represents one of the only counties that doesn't have transit. And so, you know, there's just things that you learn because you hear these often, because people have really deeply held and passionate views about, you know, their districts and what the needs are. And, you know, as they say in the freshman orientation, you are a state representative. That's, you know, you're the representative for your district, but you really learn about the state through this committee. So certainly truck weights and rural transit are things we're going to need to be talking about. So,
yes.
I'm Corinne Zewers. I'm the fiscal analyst for transportation.
Well,
do you want me to ask?
You're a graduate of the Humphrey School. But tell members some of the things that they can come to you for.
If you would like to request a fiscal note for your bill, or if you have questions on fiscal implications, I can answer those questions for you or work with the agency to get those questions answered. I'll also track the fiscal implications. I know that Frank said that we won't deal a lot with fiscal issues in this committee, but I'll keep track of that both here and then also with the finance committee. So,
thank you. It's great. And Corinne is modest, but she's really one of the shining stars of the fiscal staff, and both in her expertise and her accessibility to members. I think you're really going to enjoy working with her.
Hi, I'm Matt Burris of House Research. House Research is one of the other nonpartisan organizations within the House. They serve all members confidentially. I'm here to assist the committee with technical and research questions and help members individually if they have questions, things to forward to agencies or to look into confidentially. I also help with drafting of bills and amendments.
And what helps at the end of the day with Mr. Burris is he has a very good sense of humor, which we need around here sometimes. So it's always great to work with him as well.
I'm Abby Mann. I'm the administrator for this committee as well as the Transportation Finance Committee. And this is my second biennium. For those of you who don't know what the committee administrator does, kind of the point of contact for the committee. So if you want to have a bill heard or if we're scheduling for a bill, I'll be the one to notify members of that, and any questions about scheduling for the committee or anything that has to do with that, that I would be the person to talk to.
Yeah, and thank you. And Abby did a great job last year, and it's really the first point of reference in terms of questions about anything related to committee scheduling and process. So, and Abby works very closely with Representative Leader. And, you know, that's when you want your bill heard and you want to get any advice about that, Abby is the place to go.
Hi, I'm Susie Maher, and on Monday this week I marked my 28th anniversary in the legislature, and I love being here. Right now I'm really fortunate to work with the Transportation Committee, Representative Leader and Representative Hornstein. I also work with Representative Coonan. And if you're not going to be at committee, just let me know and we'll have you excused. Any records, that sort of thing, or appointments regarding transportation, I'm the one to see for that.
Very good. I'm Representative Marcia Swales. I'm from the communities of Woodbury and Landfall. And that falls very much on the I-94 corridor. And one of the things that I am particularly concerned about is that we do not have adequate park and rides. If you would go to the park and rides in Woodbury, they are full. And they are full by early morning. Many people who are late and cannot park their cars there end up riding or driving their cars into the cities because we just don't have adequate space for those vehicles. We would really like to see in South Washington County particularly, and I'm sure it, the East Metro in general, would like to see an increase in the number of park and rides that are available. We would like to see more rapid transit that gets deeper into the neighborhoods so that we the people have access more easily to transportation or public transportation. The other thing that we are huge champions for is the development of the depot in St. Paul as the centerpiece of the transit system within the Twin Cities. And after having toured that beautiful historic facility and seeing the potential that is in the depot, I do think that it is something that should be preserved and something that we could modernize so that it becomes a hub for future transportation here in the Twin Cities. I serve on the ETA, the Eastern Transportation Alliance. Those of us who serve on that, it is a group of not only legislators, but city council, county commissioners, mayors, any people that are affected by public transportation in the East Metro area. And like Representative McFarland, we're very concerned about what the Met Council has laid out as the 2030 plan. Even though there is proposed transit right now, the lines that are currently being planned for and funded really do fall on the western part of the metro, and we feel it's an equity issue and would really very much appreciate a re-examination of that plan. In my other life, I'm a high school English teacher. I taught clear up until Monday, collected 100 research papers the day before holiday break, graded them over the holidays. I had 10 errant young people on Monday who still had not completed their research papers, so I'm still grading papers. I absolutely love both jobs. I say frequently when people say, well, what's it like working at the legislature? I say, it's high school but without lockers. So it's very, very similar. So it's a pleasure to be here and to be a part of this committee.
And thank you, Representative Swales. And she left out one very important item, which is she is the vice chair of the committee. And that means that she will be chairing some of our meetings, even sometimes when I am here. I do like to give folks the experience of chairing a meeting. And Marcia's an up-and-coming leader, both in education and transportation. So you're going to be hearing her with the gavel from time to time, and I'm really appreciative that she has made transportation one of her priorities, so thank you. Representative Leader.
I'm Representative Leader, and District 1B, I changed it last time, but I'm in northwestern Minnesota, and I have served parts of four counties, and I hate to say the state of North Dakota, I'd like to say Dakota, but anyhow. That's always a problem because Dakota's got money now, you know, they have oil, so sitting on the border, you know, you hear about the surplus they have and we have a big deficit, like if we're not operating too well, but that's beside the point. One of the issues that I have, by profession, I'm a professional engineer, I've been a county engineer, I've been involved in transportation issues all my life. One of the big issues we run into in the legislature, and I'd just like to reiterate, if I may, the big reason, everything we hear, heard, and will hear relates to funding, as Representative Holberg knows. She chaired the committee prior to us being in the majority. Everybody needs something, but you need to take care of it with funding, and that's always the issue we can't take care of. But what's caused the problem in funding for all the time that I've been involved, not even in the legislature, is the fact that you've got this highway transit issue and rural metro, and that kills us every time. And as I listen to what's going on now, I can foresee it again. And I think Chairman Hornstein pointed out, we are also state reps. We can be very parochial, but one of the issues in not getting a bill passed ever in funding is all the people in the chair. Davis is a chair. Davis is a chair. Representative Hausman is a chair. Every time you come to the issue of getting something passed, it relates to funding. And that's where the difficulty comes. And I think we forget so often that we also have a duty as a state rep other than our own local constituency. And that'll be the problem we have right along, because we just do not have enough money to do everything everybody wants. And I just like to reiterate that, because we're going to be faced with it again. Other than that, I don't have anything other. I'm chair of the Transportation Finance Division right now, again, which is probably going to be a very dry year.
Won't be quite as stressful as last year. But I did want to say that, you know, for all of us here who've been previously elected, and for those of you serving in your first terms, it is a real privilege to serve on a transportation committee with Representative Leader. And I'm very confident in saying I don't think there's anyone in the state of Minnesota that knows this issue so well, that's been around so long, that's championed transportation with such passion and skill as he has. And I think there are many things that Representative Leader teaches us, but I think one that's particularly valuable and important to me is that he takes very seriously the state representative title. And as a rural representative, he has been very supportive of urban transit. He has been supportive of projects throughout the state. He looks at this issue in such a balanced way. And I would just really encourage all of us to look at him as our teacher and our mentor, because that's what he is. And so it's just great to have you back, Representative Leader, and look forward again to another good transportation year with you. And now we have the GOP lead, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'm Representative Dean Erdahl. I represent 18B, which is all the two townships of Meeker County and the six western townships of Wright County. And, you know, very looking forward to this committee and the work that will be done here. Transportation, of course, one of the very important overriding issues facing our state. And not some particular concerns. I'm glad that the references have been made to rural transit, because when I hear the transit, I think of the five buses that run across Meeker County and the needs that they have. A year ago, Representative Junkie and I named transportation corridor to the west, the Little Crow Line, and I'm, you know, concerned about what I consider to be kind of a black hole transportation planning, bordered by basically 94 to the northwest, 169 to the southwest, that in that area we really have some transportation needs that aren't being addressed, and we'll be proposing some thoughts on that.
Very good, and thank you, Representative Erdahl. And you know, we have a few folks from our stalwart class of 2002 here. Well, do we? Maybe it's just us too, isn't it, Representative Erdahl? So we had one or two more. So you got to go to Meeker County and get his tour of the District Cheese Factory, which then Representative, now Congressman Ellison, and I did, and we learned a lot about his area. What I appreciate about Representative Erdahl is he also values, you know, these urban-rural relationships, and I think really welcome your voice as the GOP lead. So, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Terry Morrow. I live in St. Peter. I represent Nicollet and half of Sibley County, or I think Representative Erdahl on the radio last year, I was your short aide That's the way they referred to me. They didn't know my name, but that was the... And you've got 5 buses in Meeker County, which is 5 more than we have in Nicollet County. So certainly rural transit is a deep concern of mine. Representative Torkelson, I'd be glad to hand the truck weights to you. Beware of that for which you wish. MnDOT, I'm very pleased, Mr. Chair, with the Commissioner and Deputy Commissioner. I think that MnDOT has been taking things in good directions. I am very concerned with MnDOT. This is a message. Get that State Freight and Passenger Rail Committee going. There are 3 members here we've never met. I'd like to hear when we're meeting. 10-ton roads are another issue. High-speed rail, Representative Lefty, I agree with you. We've got very low-speed freight rail in my district, 7 miles an hour, right, Representative Houseman? The committee came to visit. They were driving by in the bus. They said, why is the train stopped on the track? The train wasn't stopped. That's as fast as it was allowed to go. So we need to tend to freight rail if we want to do jobs and economic stimulus throughout the state of Minnesota. Little Crow, Minnesota Prairie, there are a lot of lines that we could attend to. So I look forward to working on that freight and passenger rail plan.
Thank you. And, you know, Representative Morrow made a point, which I think is very well taken, you know, about maybe if there's a few issues that within the transportation area that you feel like you want to specialize in, that's very, very important. Because up till now, Representative Morrow and also Representative Portman, you know, have been kind of very involved in the truck weight issue. And, you know, we have so many specialists here. We even have an anhydrous pneumonia specialist. So any of your anhydrous pneumonia questions, you can pass on to Representative Moore. See, I don't even know. He's such a great specialist.
We wanted to correct you, but we didn't.
That's right. You can always correct the chair. So anyway, anhydrous pneumonia. And but seriously, if there's a couple things, specialize in those, because now if this is the case, if this is a handoff, we have a lot of requests. There's a lot of legislation, and it's very controversial. And so we want people to take these things on. And I appreciated the role that you've played in that. And I think that Representative Morrow, what he didn't say is he's going to be, I think, one of our leaders in some of this oversight activity with MnDOT as well. So thank you. It's great to have you on the committee. Representative Champion.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. I am one of the new kids on the block. I am the newly elected representative from District 58B, which is the southern part of North Minneapolis. And I always like to just refer to half of downtown because there's the North Loop. And so you can just imagine that we have a number of transportation issues that I am definitely interested in. One is just an overarching notion is that there are so many residents in our district who need to get to the suburban areas where there's the large job growth and there's challenges around them being able to do that. And so transportation is a big issue. The BOTNO, the light rail systems, MnDOT, for an example, I am interested in, you know, making sure that there's equity, because I'm also a big believer that the quality of life is improved when people are engaged and are having an opportunity to work. And so I am concerned about there being inclusion or fostering inclusion. And so transportation issues are important to me, important to my district, and I'm looking forward to talking about those things and learning as well, because I don't think I know everything, but I do know something. And so thank you for having me.
Well, and also, Representative Champion is going to be the vice chair of the Finance Committee. And I know he's already getting up to speed on these various things and affords me an announcement that how many folks, I've been a little remiss about looking at the roster. How many people are on the Finance Committee that are? Okay, so most of you are. So there'll be an opportunity to learn from Representative Leader study session on January 12th on that. So, you know, again, a lot of complexities in these various formulas. You'll be getting familiar with those. And it's really great to have your voice on the committee. And Representative Champion, very early on after he got elected, came up to me and said, I'm really interested in transportation. So I'm glad that you were able to get on both of the committees.
Thank you.
Representative Houseman, great to have you back.
I'm Alice Houseman. I represent a corner of St. Paul, the Midway area, Como Park and St. Anthony Park, and the city of Falcon Heights. So I'm sort of city and suburb. If you've gone to the state fair, you've been right in the middle of my district. I represent the area all around that. And in addition to being on transportation committees, I chair capital investment. And so I am fully, all I do is infrastructure. And so I think we certainly will be very interested in the national discussion about the federal stimulus package, because that will so relate to infrastructure and obviously also to transportation. I think it will provide us an opportunity to maybe get some clarity on what have been maybe used as negative terms about the whole issue of infrastructure. The bridge to nowhere, which immediately evokes laughter, the use of pork, that term, but in a sense, those jokes around it have also put infrastructure investment in some negative light, in a way that I think hasn't been helpful. And so perhaps this discussion, not only on the state level but the federal level, may help us. In terms of policy, I think I'll be spending a lot of time on what I think is broken, and that is governance relative to transit. In the metro area, we still have a 7-county planning agency when there is no longer a 7-county metro area. Every line that we talk about and that you've talked about ultimately is going to go outside the 7-county metro area, and many of them likely outside of the 11 or 13 counties. You've heard today a statewide need for transit, and yet all of the planning is done piecemeal and kind of on a local level, and you worry that the whole system isn't going to make sense for the state. In the metro area, in transit governance, it's very hard, as much as we talk about reform, it is very hard to get rid of stuff. And so what we keep doing is layering on. So this doesn't work, or it's no longer adequate, we don't get rid of it. We layer on another level, and we have only made this whole issue of planning worse, I think. And an example of that, I don't want to pick on one, but when Ron Abrams did the reform on property tax funding for operating, we didn't get rid of one piece, which was something at the time called opt-outs. And so that still exists, but it's subsidized in a different way. What I've heard is a common theme around the table, and when you invest in taxpayer dollars, you want to assure the taxpayers you represent that they are fairly treated. And so we do hope for regional and statewide equity of those taxpayer dollars, particularly because in the area of infrastructure and transportation infrastructure, they inevitably lead to economic health. That investment prepares you to be an economically healthy community. There's a lot of connection between the committee I chair and this one. We have traditionally funded and built the transit corridors, and as each one talked about their corridor, for the last 2 years, we've passed a bill that had the Rochester Regional Connection, that had Rush Line, that had Bottineau, that had I-94, and for 2 years that has been vetoed, with the exception of the 35 W and Cedar corridor. I am hoping that maybe the federal stimulus package might provide opportunity to move that forward. As we travel the state, it is clear that, and I'm talking now specifically about the transit piece, we hear broadly transportation alternatives are essential all over the state. Each of the regional cities wants to be connected, and even the small communities with an aging population, a population of disability, and even those who just maybe don't want to drive a car, they look for alternatives. And because we have had an inadequate governance system, I think we've not served state taxpayers well by any kind of coordinated plan. I have a bill that I think will come to this committee that will be very controversial.
Well, and so, thank you. I was trying to be a little obtuse. We have a few bills coming up about Met Council reform. Well, that's one of them. And but, you know, Representative Houseman has just been an amazing voice for transportation and transit for, I think, you were first elected in 1990, 1988?
90 was my first.
Okay. Election. Since, really, she got here in 1990. And even though it wasn't in her district, I think that Representative Houseman was the legislator most responsible and deserves the most credit for making sure that the Hiawatha line was built. And so we all should thank you for that. And I think when the history of the Central Corridor is written, it will have Alice Houseman at the top of that as well. So you're two for two on light rail corridors.
But you notice I didn't even mention Central Corridor because I think we shouldn't just talk about one corridor. We should never just talk about the one that goes through our district. If we don't build a system, we might not need one. I mean, if you built one highway and never built another, there would have been no point.
Right, and that's I think the issue is that we will be getting into this is that we have these piecemeal things. But since I can talk about it because it's not in my district. So Central Corridor, a real champion. Representative Rosenthal, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm really, really excited about being on this committee. Transportation is an issue that I've always had a strong interest in. I represent West Bloomington and South Edina. The pressing issue in the district is the 494-169 interchange, and I'm hoping with a stimulus package, hopefully we can get something done in that area. You know, I'd like to see all forms of transportation from buses to roads to light rail to high-speed trains. And I'm very excited to be here and hope to learn and contribute a lot.
Thank you. Welcome. Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Melissa Hortman. I represent part of the city of Brooklyn Park and part of the city of Coon Rapids. And a big part of the reason I ran for office was as a rail advocate, particularly for a commuter rail system. I think we should have a commuter rail system that encompasses Wilmer, Mankato, Rochester, Duluth. We really need a system that serves the entire state, not just the entire metro area. And the biggest reason I ran and succeeded in getting elected in 2004 was the North Star Commuter Rail Line was rejected by the 2003-2004 legislature. And as a result of not moving on that, it now, when we do build it, won't go to St. Cloud, and it won't have any stops in my district. And it's just a good example of if Minnesota doesn't take advantage of opportunities for federal funding, whether it's for high-speed rail, if we can't get our ducks in a row and take advantage of it, that money will go somewhere else, and we'll have less than what we could have. So I hope that we all work together and try to get as much as we can of the federal resources so that we don't see our light rail and commuter rail and high-speed rail money going to other states that are more cohesive. I think, you know, Bernie's comments and Frank's comments about we want everything for everybody. We really need a balanced system. I've always co-authored the Union Depot bill, the Rush Line bill, the Red Rock bill. We can't wait as long for the next parts of our transit system as we waited for the first parts of our transit system. And, you know, we're thankful to people like Dan Earhart and others who came before and didn't give up on these lines, but it shouldn't take 10 years to get a new rail line. So I hope that we're much faster at getting the eastern section up and built than we were getting some of the western pieces put into place.
Thank you. Representative Mason.
I'm Sandra Mason, and I represent 38A, which is Western Eagan, and I've got a thin portion of adjoining Burnsville. Within my constituency, we've got 35E, 35W, 77, 494, the airport, the freight. So literally every aspect of the transportation system is important to me. The ones that I'm seeing right now as far as critical to me is my district has to do with maybe expanding our services. We're working hard on expanding the facilities. But again, a lot of this goes back to the money. Over the years, I've been involved with the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority, served on a lot of transit transportation advisory committees, including the commuter rail. And, yeah, my thought is Minnesota is so far behind. And as Melissa said, we have so much catching up to do, and we need to be working on it. And so that's kind of where I'm at, is to try to see what we can do to expand our facilities as quickly as possible.
Thank you. And I think our only other Dakota County... County member. I was looking around and thinking, wow, Dakota County, only two members, but we have Mary Liz Holberg.
Mr. Chair, they tried to swear me into Mike Beard's office this morning, so they tried to make me represent Prior Lake and Shakopee. So they were one number off on my little form. They wanted me to sign, so anyway. I represent 36A, which is 12 of 14 precincts in Lakeville. And as far as an issue, and I know that this is part of Representative Hausman's concern, is the whole disjointed, dysfunctional, make-no-sense transit funding. We had a transit taxing district, and now we have different rates of sales tax for a transit sales tax for a business owner in the South Metro to try and figure out what jurisdiction they're in and which taxes to charge which entities. This is a total nightmare, and on top of that, it makes no sense in how it funds the regional system either. So I think that's one of the most dysfunctional components of the transportation funding system, is it no longer makes any sense.
Well, it's great to have you back, and Representative Holberg, as I think someone had mentioned earlier, chaired the Finance Committee, I believe, in the 05, 06, or I don't even remember, but sometime around then, and has just been very close to this issue for many, many years. Started off in local government and, very familiar with all the road issues down in Dakota County and the growing part of the region. And we've worked together on a number of things, so I'm really glad that you're back and that we can continue our work.
And Mr. Chair, not that it has anything to do with either you or cheerleader, but I did my darndest to get off of these. It wasn't successful, so I don't know what that says, but I was back, I guess.
You know, Representative Holberg, I was aware of that, and then I was surprised to see you here, but I'm glad you're here.
Another issue that I failed at here.
I know that you'll continue to contribute, and I appreciate that a lot. Just a couple words. I'm representing District 60B, and that's the southwest part of Minneapolis, around Lake Harriet and Lake Calhoun, and I'm just starting my fourth term, and I've been, I think, on transportation policy and transportation finance every term I've been here. I'm very passionate about transit. One of my, real interests is the connection between transit and transportation infrastructure to, a couple issues that I think have been mentioned as priorities both statewide and nationally by both parties, I think, and that's reducing our dependence on foreign oil. I think the transportation sector has a lot to do with that, and of course, greenhouse gases. Our sector is 25% of the carbon emissions in the state, and I really view transportation as a way to get at both of those issues. I'll be probably advancing some additional legislation I've co-sponsored in the past with Representative Broad on promoting electrifying our transportation infrastructure, plug-in hybrids, electric cars, and of course I'll be doing some work on linking transportation and land use, and transit and land use, and a couple of those bills will probably start off in the local government committee and then make their way here if we're lucky. I'm also been very active and involved in issues around the airport. My district is very close to to MSP, and I know that Representative Atkins is going to be doing a hearing in his committee about the new Northwest Delta merger and the covenants. If you've been following, there was some discussion about that yesterday at the MAC. I'm working with his committee to see if we can do that jointly. So that's going to be an important issue before us in the coming weeks. And I think it was Representative Houseman who mentioned the stimulus package. And, you know, members, this is we're talking about amounts of money that are unprecedented coming from the federal government. And, you know, whether you believe philosophically that this is a good or bad idea in terms of stimulating the economy, you know, our debate isn't necessarily about that in this committee, but I do strongly believe that we do need to have some transparency in terms of, you know, where this money is going, how it's being spent. You know, Met Council does have a list of projects that they're forwarding, even though there will be no earmarks, apparently. We'd like to kind of get MnDOT's ideas about how they would spend the infrastructure money. And so I'd like to really make sure that we talk about that at our next meeting. And so let's just conclude by, yes, Representative Houseman.
I just want to say one other word, because I know you tried very hard to get this changed, but there's a sense in which the very title of our committee is sort of a throwback, and that is Transportation and Transit Committee, as though transit is not integral to transportation. And, I mean, I think that's sort of that ongoing mission problem that we have that will probably even play itself out in what gets addressed in your committee. But
yeah, it's a very thank you, Representative Houseman. I mean, you know, we are really dealing with two issues that, you know, it's odd how they've been delineated this way, but it's important. Everyone has talked about both MnDOT related things and transit and roads and policy and process. I mean, that's all going to get dealt with here. And but I do believe this infrastructure issue is important. Whether we discuss this in Representative Leader's Committee or not, I feel very strongly that in the next couple of weeks, because this thing is either going to move relatively quickly or maybe in February in Washington, but I hope that in the month of January we can have a real discussion, a robust discussion at the Minnesota Legislature about what this means, whether it's a couple hundred million dollars coming in for transit or $150 million coming in for roads and bridges. You know, we really ought to know what's going on. This affects our community. So I'm just kind of giving you a preview of the next meeting here. I would like to have Met Council and MnDOT come. We're not meeting next week, by the way, so just know that. But we are going to meet 2 weeks from today for our next meeting. And a couple things that I think will be on the agenda then are you know, maybe a conversation about the stimulus package. We would like Met Council and MnDOT to do their overviews. I think the veteran members are familiar with this, but we always have the agencies come in at the beginning of the session just to give us a little 101 about their agency. Now, Met Council is going to really focus. We're going to ask Met Council and MnDOT to do, again, the policy aspects only of their agencies. There'll be, of course, some finance. But they'll be giving some separate presentations about their budget. And the budget review for the Met Council and MnDOT will take place in the Representative Leaders Committee. But again, they're very important issues about how these agencies are structured and some of their policy responsibilities that we're going to take a look at here in this committee 2 weeks from now. And again, there may or may not be some legislation around this, but Representative Hortman and I have been serving along with Senator Day and Senator Saltzman on a committee that's been looking at efficiencies. This was something that was part of the transportation bill that was passed last year over the objections of the governor. And so there's a efficiency aspect to MnDOT that's been really delved into very, very thoroughly. And so there may be some legislation coming out of that. I would anticipate maybe a report from that committee would take place a couple weeks from now. So, again, no meeting next Wednesday. We'll have a full meeting 2 weeks from today. Council agency overviews with some discussion of the stimulus package. Watch for a notice about Representative Atkins' airport committee, airport hearing. I think that's going to be important for those of you who are interested in that. And if there are no other questions or comments or thoughts at this point, we'll adjourn. Going once, going twice. Has everyone been introduced properly? I think we've accomplished that goal. So, hearing no other business before the committee, we stand adjourned.